Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view.
Right here, every Monday on the Progressive Radio Network.
Join the movement at PRN.fm, your best source for progressive programming.
Bassist Sam Jones and the Soul Society with Some Kind of Mean. This is from his 1960 album for Stardust Records. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we had quite a wake-up call today on Wall Street as the boards plunged and people started to panic. And the numbers went down. There was a real life panic this morning on Wall Street. But it was due to a reaction, worldwide reaction actually, with this coronavirus. And the bonds responded. Wall Street responded in its typical fashion. Any sign of major distress, it reacts to it. So that's what happened. It appears that people have kind of gotten that message now, and they're not satisfied with where the stocks are at this point, but at least they're not freaking out as they were this morning. And I understand that. I saw it here. I went for my usual morning walk and I stopped to have a cup of tea, and people started just panicking, and I wondered what it was all about. And of course they were watching the television and got the news. But now this has taken on a definitely global aspect to it, and we still don't know what it is. What is this? Of course, they're calling it a virus, but where did it come from? And how did it just manifest itself just so suddenly? Where people are now living in a kind of panic because they don't know where next it would strike. But We have no answers. We, the normal lay people, we have no answers for this. And the scientific world is doing its best to come up with an answer, but there too, there are no answers, not yet. Let alone a vaccine or some kind of a treatment for it that is 100% effective or even 50% effective. So we are all in waiting mode, and it is very disconcerting not knowing what this is. How did it manifest itself, and at this time? And how is it to be treated? We still don't know. So I'm hoping that the market, at least, even if a couple of points were lost, but it was more than 1,000 this morning, it would stabilize itself and people will kind of catch on to the idea that we don't know. None of us really has an answer at this moment. And it goes without saying the scientific community is doing its level best to try and come up with some kind of answers. But this is the nature of the beast. We have no idea where this comes from, how it is to be treated, and you know, how do we guard ourselves against it, if it's possible to do. Three more clusters have been added. Italy, Iran, and South Korea have been added to the cluster of countries beginning to manifest more of the disease or the affliction or the infection. And so it is now in the minds, it's a global issue now. And as I said, we have no answers. It's a very awful place to be in, where you have no answers. You don't know what to do to prevent it. You don't know what to do to cure it if you get it. Well, let's talk about what happened over the weekend. It was a very interesting weekend. And I must say that it caused quite an upset. It still is causing quite an upset. As Bernie Sanders took the lead in Nevada. I wonder how you reacted to that. It was very, 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 very spectacular, actually. It was a show in and of itself. Because I think people thought that Bernie Sanders would do well, but I didn't think that he would run away with it. And he did. However, now that he has placed himself in the lead, or his people have placed him in the lead with their votes, now comes a whole bunch of questions that we didn't suspect that we would be talking about today. But let's do that. What is Bernie's victory in Nevada supposed to mean to us and to mean to politics in the United States? That's the question. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Where is it going? Where is all of this leading to? And what do you see as the fallout of this movement? That, you know, people knew that there was, you know, a bunch of people who had gotten together and they're the, you know, the progressives. But now it's a whole different ballgame. You speak now with respect when you talk about Bernie and his crew. So how did you interpret the victory for Bernie in Nevada? 888-874-4888. What does it mean? What do you think it means? How has politics been changed by that? That one action. How has politics been changed by it? We start out, let me get myself back in. We start out with Jay from New York. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. I hope you and the listeners had a beautiful weekend.
Well, I rested as much best I could. So it was beautiful.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Eutrice, I see this as a very complicated movement with a lot of viciousness ahead. I think what Bernie's doing, in a sense, is building a coalition through him with other people. That this weekend showed that there are other outside groups other than the African American community that so many people push to make it seem like they are strong as what they're really not, that are coming into play. I think the Latino community just showed the force that they could be in the movement, and if they're willing to work in coalition with blacks and other groups who are trying to move forward and put something of value in this country, it could be a very good thing. But the viciousness...
But you do understand that what you're talking about, this idea of Sanders being able to form coalitions at the grassroots level, would not be tolerated. It's not going to go well with people in the party itself who resent that kind of idea.
And that he
think he's slapping them in the face with having such success.
That's the viciousness on what's about to happen. You are going to see people who are supposedly wanting to get Trump out of office basically do everything in their power to keep Bernie Sanders from gaining the leadership into the party and matter, turning it the way that Trump turned the Republican Party. Now, the crazy thing is, and this is the thing that I laugh at all the time, is most of these people who talk about socialism don't even understand what socialism is and don't understand at this present time in this country, socialism is the thing that will help their children's future. That's the thing that I just laugh at and I just shake my head. Because most of the things that Bernie is talking about and trying to do may not benefit, as I say, old heads like myself so much, but it will definitely give your children the opportunity to recreate some of the things that you were able to give them. I'll give you two quick examples. If he was somehow able to get rid of student loans, and he was somehow able to make college affordable, what would that do? That would hopefully allow for your children, number one, not to go into the future in debt, and in the process, allow your children also to be educated, whereby then that would allow people to focus on being creative. Because you cannot be creative when you're under nothing but pressure and stress from financial obligations. Then there's other things that could benefit the country going further. But people are scared of words. People are scared of things that they don't understand. That's like Stevie Wonder talked about in Superstition. So the reality is that depending on how Bernie and his people put forward the right messaging and narrative will determine how far he goes, if the truth be told. Because now all it's about is messaging. It's about how do you put forward the narrative where people could start to understand what's at stake and not be in fear of the boogeyman in a sense. Because the Democratic Party, they're going to show themselves to be how mean and vicious they really are, because they're going to come after this man. And what do they have to give us in return? Joe Biden,
all right.
He's a joke.
You're raising a very good question. Thanks for getting it started. Thanks for putting it on the table, Jay. Thanks for calling. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air. How did you react and how did you interpret the reaction of the Democratic Party to Bernie Sanders' win in Nevada?
I'm actually pretty surprised of the reaction, especially of the some of these Democrats like Chris Matthews coming straight out and rejecting Bernie Sanders' campaign. I'm pretty surprised about that. Because
tell us who Chris Matthews is and why that is significant.
Well, Chris Matthews is a news host on the channel MSNBC, and I believe it was 2 weeks ago he came out. I'm not sure if it was the New Hampshire primary or the Iowa caucus, where he basically likened Bernie Sanders supporters to like mob type mentality, you know, putting people up against the wall, executing people. So when he said that took me aback, you know, 2 weeks ago, and I was surprised that they let him slide on that. But now I believe a few days ago when Bernie Sanders won Las Vegas, now he's comparing him to some sort of Nazi event in Europe or something like that, as far as his win is concerned. And that right there surprised me a lot. So, but now, I mean, now you're hearing reports of the intelligence community talking about Russia wanting to help the Bernie Sanders campaign. Now it all makes sense. Now, you know, this is basically the Democrat playbook where they did the same thing to Trump. They don't want outsiders, and they view Bernie as an outsider because he's an independent. He's not really a Democrat. And they want to be able to control the situation. And with somebody like Bernie and the type of supporters he has, organic supporters, see, Trump and Bernie both have what they call these organic supporters. They hit on points where people, actual real average people, are the supporters of these candidates. And these Democrat and Republican parties, they don't like that. And, I mean, like for instance, like you say you haven't voted in years because you see how detached these parties are to actual people on the ground. They're very self-serving parties. They don't really serve the people. Once we give them their vote, they don't come back to our communities and fulfill their promises. And people like Bernie Sanders, Trump, whether you like them or not, or agree with their policies or not, they hit on these points where, and they hit on these points where people, those are the things that the people that vote them in want, and that doesn't necessarily benefit the actual party itself.
So how is the party, in your view, reacting to the phenomenon of a Sanders win? And it was a decisive win. It was not just a squeaky win. It was a real out there win.
like I said, one of the things they're doing now, they're trying to smear or disqualify his winning, like they did to Trump, with this Russia, Russians are trying to help Bernie Sanders win the election. These are efforts to undermine or discredit any accomplishments that his campaign might make in the future. Because it's very, I mean, that was the problem I had with the intelligence community during the Trump administration, where they would come out with these accusations, okay, by anonymous sources. We never know who these people are. We just know that it's coming from an intelligence community, and they don't give actual proof, actual evidence of how exactly are Russians meddling in our elections. The elections haven't even begun. A few primaries have gone by, but what actual proof is there that Russians have been helping Bernie Sanders? Can they at least tell us that? If they're going to name Bernie Sanders in particular, because all foreign governments, including ours, interfere in other countries' elections. That's just the way it goes. But to just single out a particular candidate, that is very discrediting to our elections, and that undermines if it wasn't bad enough that people didn't trust politicians and the whole electoral process, it makes it even worse. That was my big problem I had with the Democrats, with all this Mueller and Russia phobia that they've injected into the United States, that they've discredited our elections, and now we have presidents that are what we're going to have asterisks next to their name, like how they do with baseball players when they're accused of doping. It's silly season right now, and the Democrats they're doing it to their own. Now we're seeing it, and it's dirty. It's very, very dirty, and it's dangerous, because we're talking about a country like Russia, which is a superpower, and they have a lot of nuclear weapons. We shouldn't be talking like that about other countries like that that have that type of power.
We've discussed that the whole arrangement with the trial of Donald Trump really had to do with Biden, but Biden hasn't done very well at all. So do you expect at some point soon, as Biden racks up, we're looking at Super Tuesday on what, January the 3rd, and you have all these states voting at the same time. So do you expect Biden to come back to a point of victory at some point? He needs it. So far he hasn't really had it. Do you expect him in that time, by January the 3rd, his candidacy would look a little bit different, a little more hopeful?
Look different, but what I do see possible is that the remainder of the Democrats are going to try to stick to this election as long as they can in order to reach the convention and to try to steal it from Bernie once again. I think that's the game plan right now with the Democrats. But unless they can get together in a backroom deal and pick amongst themselves who's going to be the one to go head to head with Bernie, which I highly doubt that might happen. Because the Democrats are very disorganized right now. But if they were able to do that, that's the best shot they might have to defeat a candidate like Bernie. But even so, they're just, none of those candidates have that organic touch. I called a few weeks ago about Bloomberg with his fake ads and how he was so detached from the rest of the population, and you saw him in the debate. He was a typical robot. He doesn't have any human connection with the public. He's rich beyond unbelievable amounts of money. You know, he doesn't have any need to compromise or get along with people. I mean, if somebody does something he doesn't like, he just fires them, get rid of them, or whatever. Everybody has to do what he says in his world. So he doesn't have that ability to connect with average people. So we saw that. But as far as the Bernie Sanders and the rest of the Democrats, I think they're going to either try to steal it from him because I don't think they can get together and pick amongst themselves. And like I said, even if they did do that, pick one person and kick everybody else off, I don't think anyone can beat Bernie Sanders. None of those people standing
All right.
up there.
Well, thank you for calling in today and sharing your thoughts. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
How are you?
Hello?
Yes, hello, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm persevering. I have mixed reactions, and I think rightfully so. And I also see this as a implosion. I see it also as chicken coming home to roost. I have mixed feelings about Bernie Sanders, and I find him in some ways disingenuous, and I find him in some ways, yes, he's doing what I would want a politician to do and what politicians should do, you know, really presenting an agenda for the people. Presenting an agenda
hold it before you go off. You're already off target. This is not a critique of Bernie Sanders. This is
analyzing what I'm trying to do.
I'm
setting a stage for it.
Here.
So what I'm saying is, like the whole Russia thing, here it is, they're accusing Bernie of the Russia thing, and that's why I was saying what I'm saying. But Bernie himself got on the Russia ban. He himself was accusing Trump of that. And Bernie himself did not stand up for himself when they stole the election from him. Not only that, he put his forces behind Hillary Clinton. So because of that...
You're taking us back several years where we don't want to be. Where we want to be right now is to analyze the results of the election in Nevada, and we want to know what, in your view, does it mean? What will it mean for independent politics, progressive politics? What does it mean for the Democratic Party that has finally decided, okay, we'll let Bernie in, but is it working? Is it going to work?
Well, if they're in a position now where they have to really accede to the people. The results is telling them that they have to put the people's need in place. Their result is telling them that the Democratic Party has to change its face. It has to change its agenda. And if it doesn't, then it's going to fall apart. Because, it also is indicating the mindset of the people, that the people are awakening to the fact that our needs must be attended to. And Bernie Sanders is offering us an alternative which will attend to our needs. For example, you know, the health care, you know, getting rid of student debts, you know, guaranteeing education. So it is awakening the Democratic Party. And I'm not awakening in a sense that even if they have to fake it, even if they don't want to go that way, they will still have to make some kind of a gesture towards the people. You know, that's what it is doing right now. It is making them realize that, you know, we can't just be for our donors. We have to bringing the people into this equation. That's what I think it is suggesting. But
do you think the party, for what it has been showing, and this is what Tony commented on, it's like it's angry with its own candidates. It's angry within itself. It is fractured. Do you think that Sanders' victory would sufficiently remind the party that you're off base, you're killing yourself and any possibility of victory at the polls because people are seeing just how fractured you are?
There's so much ego at place, and the party have displayed so much that it is really not about the people, but really about people's individual egos, people's individual aggrandizement, that I'm not too sure. You know, they're on a suicidal course, actually. It's like, I mean, and that's why I was bringing up the past, because I don't like to critique something in a vacuum. I think it's good to, you know, to lay a foundation. Like look at the what Hillary Clinton have been doing, accusing everyone who she sees as a possible threat as a Russian asset. And it wasn't really a critique of Bernie Sanders, but it was like I wanted us to look at things in depth and to see what is happening.
This is not the program for it right now, because we need to give you, for you to do that, you need more space. We are reacting in the immediate moment of the election in Nevada. We're trying to get a quick read as to what did that produce? How is it going to impact the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or any progressive party? We're just trying to get a quick read.
They're in bafflement. And that's why, what's that fellow's name who had that burst against Bernie? It's because they're in bafflement. They're scrambling. What should we do? What should we do? And they feel threatened, you know, and they don't really know how to respond. And, you know, it's that people respond knee-jerk and irrational. There is a lot of irrational response to it. And so when a person is in an irrational state, you really can't predict what they will do.
Well, thank you for calling in and contributing. Thanks so much. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Atrice. First I want to tell you about my reaction, okay? My reaction is I am so happy and filled with joy that I can't even believe it. And I looked around at people in the city, and they seem to be kind of walking around on air, too. People are really, really thrilled about that win the other day, and it was a resounding win. And the other reaction I'm having is I'm stunned at how wigged out the media has become and how crazy they are to hang on to what they want as the status quo. I told you about WNYC radio the other day, and again this morning, it was a half-hour diatribe on Mike Bloomberg, who tanked, came in sixth place, wasn't even on the ballot, but we have got nonstop propaganda for Mike Bloomberg at 24/7 up here in New York City. But when Chris Matthews said the things he said, I thought he had become unglued. And Chris Matthews needs to remember that he worked for John Kennedy. And John Kennedy, after Roosevelt, tried to also introduce universal health care, and he was not successful. But that is the ticket. That is the platform he ran on. So it's interesting to see Chris Matthews, who always talks about his close relationship with John Kennedy and how he admired him, talking about Bernie and saying that Bernie Sanders supporters were the equivalent of Nazi brown shirts. And talking about public hangings, I mean, it's unbelievable. But I heard this morning some other stuff that kind of put this in order for me, is that, you know, when President Roosevelt was running, they accused him of being a communist as well, and they accused him of all kinds of terrible things. But, you know, he was steady and he was persistent. And I'm really inspired by Bernie because I've watched him in the debates and I've watched him not take the bait when people say terrible things to him. Like when Hillary said those awful things about him, he didn't go back at her. He didn't get to her level. He didn't call her names back. He just kind of shrugged it off and said, my wife says worse things than that. I love the way he responds. And to me, he's like a drink of water in this desert of crazy cannibalistic capitalism. So just that's my reaction. And I just hope that, and I hope and I think that because of these three wins now, he's going to start rolling in the rest of them. Because I think now people know that it's possible that he can win. And, you know, when people start winning, then everybody starts to kind of glob on. They start to get a little more confident. But I'm also surprised at even people in my own family who, my mother's 93 and she doesn't like him because she says he's too old. And yet my mother is her hero is Roosevelt because he saved her and my father from certain poverty.
Well, that is real. That is how people voted. Back then, when a candidate emerges who is speaking to them and what they consider to be their overarching needs, and one of them was, how am I going to live? Would I be able to afford a home? Would I be able to retire? These are things that these are the nuts and bolts things that people want to hear about in a candidate. Thanks a lot for calling in. David, you're on the air. Hello, David?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Therese. I'm listening to this discussion, and what I'm hearing is that we're having people talk about a party that is not owned or run in the interests of the people. This party is owned by the oligarchy and ruling class, and they're in no way interested in what's good for the people. So I guess for those who run the party, those oligarchs and people at the top and corporations, Bernie is a bad idea for them, even though what he talks about is seems to be positive for most of the people. They don't want him. They want someone, anyone who's going to maintain the status quo with them in top of this uniparty system of the Republican and Democrat. So they would be naturally against Bernie. And they're going to do everything they can to keep him out and put somebody in that is in harmony with their mission. Their mission is to keep things the same and with this neoliberal policy and benefit themselves at the expense of the mass of the people. So they certainly would not be interested and a candidate like Bernie, who has the rhetoric of things that are good for the masses of people. So, you know, essentially, that's the way I see it. So even though some people are all involved in the master's party, the, Democratic division, and they think that's wonderful, they're going to do everything they can to sabotage Bernie and get one of their preferred candidates like Biden or Mayor Bloomberg or Mayor Pete or someone who is essentially for the status quo. So we just have to keep that in mind. It may come in the form of super delegates or whatever they have to do to put somebody in there who's in harmony with their mission, was to keep things as is with those at the top in charge and use the masses of people to give an impression of having a real democracy that is functioning for the benefit of the people.
Are you at all surprised at the poor showing of Joe Biden so far?
At his poor showing, because it's clear that he's a status quo person, and people want, you know, just like they looked at Obama with hope and change, and they're looking at Bernie with some hope and change also, and Biden is not doing that. He's giving the impression that he's going to keep things as is, and he's not the hope and change person. So, you know, I'm not surprised that the masses are not that impressed with him, even though some very conservative poor people are looking to him as someone who can win. But he's a candidate of the ruling class and the oligarchy that runs the place. So, you know, he's their man, and Bernie is not, because he's talking things that to them is pejorative, like socialism and things like that. And they don't want to hear anything like that. So Biden is definitely a preferred person, as well as some of those other people that I just mentioned before, who are for the status quo.
Well, thank you. Thanks for contributing today. Thank you. We have next Ed from Queens. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Latrice. How you doing?
All righty. How about you? With your thumb.
We're still here. We're still here. They're very strong thumbs, because these are definitely interesting times.
How do you interpret the reaction to Bernie Sanders' victory in Nevada, particularly by the Democrats?
Well, like I said to you before, party politics in this country are dead. I mean, we're wrapped up in a flux of what I call a cult of personality. So the reaction of the people in the Democratic Party, or the Democratic Party's running parts or hierarchy, are basically in a bubble. They don't see what reality is, and they're continuing to delude themselves in this bubble. I don't think they'll try to steal anything from Bernie. I think they're going to have to go with what the people want as far as Bernie Sanders and his platform and what he's representing and what he's stating. And I think he'll get the nomination. It's just that, I honestly believe the fix is in with this Trump individual. And I believe they would rather lose to Trump than allow Bernie Sanders to win and allow the populace to really get a foothold in the government. Because even if Bernie Sanders won the election, he's got to have the backing of the House. He's got to have the backing of the Senate. He's got to have the people in the Beltway to work with him. And if they're not going to work with him, then none of his policies will come to fruition unless he appeals directly to the people. And that's something that the status quo, as David says, doesn't want. So I believe they'd rather lose to Trump, because they can maintain the same boogeyman status of Trump, and they can maintain the polarization, and they can pass through under the radar what they're trying to pass through, as far as with judges, as far as with environmental changes, as far as with the wealth gap increasing, as far as the rich maintaining their positions in power. They can do that with Trump as well as they can do it with any other type of puppet. And Bernie Sanders is the only candidate that really represents what the people want. But as the way the government is situated, the mechanics of the government, unless he gets backing from the House and the Senate, he won't be able to do anything. So we're in a quandary. It's in the ballpark of the American people. What are they going to accept? What are we going to take? And what are we going to tolerate? And that's where we stand right now. But I mean, politics to me is a dead issue. Yeah, I'll vote for Bernie, but what can he do if he doesn't have the Washington Beltway behind them? Very little.
That's an interesting question that you raise. You want to take a stab at answering it?
Well, I mean, the people in this country have got to get outraged and have got to take to the streets. I mean, they've got to shut it down. It should have happened over 40 years ago when Reagan started this nonsense as far as taking back the little bones that we got. And the people in this country have become, they lack any effect. They don't pay attention to what's going on. They don't understand what politics really is as far as the distribution of wealth and power and why we have a government and what the government's purpose should be towards the people. And as long as that idea is misunderstood or not even being attempted to be understood or explained, you know, one person can't change this. It's got to be a consensus. It's got to be a group of people. And one person's ideas can't change it. It's got to be a consensus. That's why parties have platforms. That's why people have ideals. That's why there's basic fundamental truths. Without those, we're just playing personality politics. Oh, I like this guy, or I don't like this guy, or I like Obama, or I don't like Bernie, or I don't like Trump. The personalities don't have anything to do with it. What do we want for humanity? What do we want for ourselves? What rules, what orders, what laws are we going to put in place to ensure the equal treatment of humanity? How are we going to close the wealth gap? How are we going to give people housing? How are we going to give people medical attention? How are we going to give people food? How are we going to save this planet? You know, I mean, these are the critical questions that none of these fools are talking about. And that's what the people got to bring this to bear, because the rich and the powerful think they can insulate themselves from all the effects of this. And to a certain extent, they can. But it's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever.
All right. Thanks, Ed, for your thoughts today. Clara from Philly, you're on the air.
Hello, you, Trace, and all the listeners. Well, I agree with the last caller and the caller before in the sense that this party does not want Bernie in there. They would rather lose the election than just have him become the candidate. And the reason for that, I've never thought that they were in it to win. I said it months ago. These people do not want to win. All of their decisions suggest to me that they don't particularly care. Their main objective is to maintain the system. There may even be an agreement between the two parties. And I'm so certain that they will not allow him to take office should he win. Now, we have to do something, but it's very difficult for the citizens at this point to act effectively. There's so much that's going on against us. 40 years of poor education, poor medical care. We're so sick and ignorant and distracted by the media, by technology. Everything's working against people, and most people are not aware of it. Maybe if people were aware of it, we could get out of it. But I talk to people, and some of them just turn away. And some of them have the attitude, well, our spiritual strength will save us. It's that bad. So I think that we're in for a period of very severe distraction, not only distraction, destruction. And after that, the system will be, the whole system will be destroyed. Then maybe we can start again, but it's very pessimistic. I'm very pessimistic seeing what I see, not just on an emotional basis, but what I observe. It's really serious, and I don't see Bernie winning the White House. The last two callers are right. What we want doesn't matter. The debate in the question and answer periods, they never brought up anything about their agenda, what's good for the citizens. They just tore each one another down. That's another thing. Tore one another down in the face of the nation. More so than they attacked Trump. So that's my statement for today.
Well, thank you for your statement, Clara. I'm so glad you called and contributed today. We have Everlasting from Alabama. You're on the air.
Hi, you, Therese. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I have two things to say about this situation. First, what they're talking about with the Bernie Sanders issue with the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party don't really want him, but he's running under the Democratic banner. So therefore, if he knows that he's running under the Democratic banner and they supposedly not want him, not want his politics, why would he even align himself with them? That could be a concern. And if the people didn't like talking about that, the Democratic Party don't want to, so why didn't we say, well, look, Bernie, if you will back you if you run as an independent. But if you don't run as an independent, if you align yourself with the Democratic Party, we're not going to vote for you. We're not going to back you. So that has to be a concern there, because if they're not supposed to like him and his politics so much, but yet and still he's running up under the Democratic banner.
Well, you know, so in this way, he has something in common with Michael Bloomberg. Things have gone so badly with the other parties and their organization. They're not ready. They did not see could be viable means of presenting a viable candidate to the public for the purposes of winning elections. So there's no infrastructure to receive people who are ready and who can make a difference. So this is, in a sense, a concession that they're making. Bernie Sanders, I don't think, was jumping up and down when he realized that if he is to be part of the electoral process, he will have to concede and run in a different party, because the party he should be running under is not ready to receive him.
Right.
You know, this is a very major point.
Right, that's my point.
You know, you gotta, people have, we either are interested in launching fully independent parties, or we're not. In this case, that's the judgment call I think he made. He couldn't run as a progressive. He couldn't run under the banner of the Working Families Party. They're not organized to sustain a national candidate. They can't do it.
Okay, and it is another thing. Okay, they keep saying that they're not talking about the issues of the people. Okay, so therefore, we're not talking about what might happen in the future or waiting for people to get woke. There are practical things that we can do now, because people need to eat right now. People need food and clothing and housing right now. And we have the money. It's not that we don't have the money, because if we have all the, say, taking the black communities, right? You have all these Koreans and Asians and Arabs running stores in our community and gas stations in our community for years. So if we were so poor, why are they their doors open every day for years in our community, and they take it all?
First of all, that's a very unfair question.
Why do you say that?
Immigrants, because immigrants do what they have to do to survive.
No, I'm not saying it's their fault. No. Listen, you got me. I'm not saying it's their fault. That's not what I'm saying. They're doing what they're supposed to do. No. I'm saying we're allowing that in our communities, and we're not the ones benefiting from it, because we're supposed to have that.
Why are you saying we allow it in our communities? They're entitled. Are they breaking a law by setting up shop wherever they can make a living?
I just said they were in our communities doing it. I didn't imply they were breaking the law, they were doing anything wrong. That's not what I said.
No. But your intonation is that there was something wrong about that.
No, I didn't say that. I
know you didn't say it, but you, as I said, your intonation was that they're coming into our communities. And why shouldn't they? They're looking for business opportunities. The people in the community have had the opportunities available to them just the same. This, we should be real careful about this kind of thing, because in the end, what you're saying or intimating is that you have all these immigrants coming into the black community and taking the money out of it. And that's not a really good analysis.
Right,
because it comes with tinges of points of view that you don't want to be associated with. People come from all over the world to make a living here. I'm an immigrant, and I'm here because other people were where I was born and raised and made it not at all possible for me to live my entire life where I was born. So you have to seek opportunities elsewhere. There are people from the South who moved to the North because they felt there were better opportunities there, that they can begin to build a meaningful life with. So we have to be very careful about these kinds of expressing sentiments that come loaded with all kinds of hidden meanings. Be clear about what you say, and be sure not to injure anybody, especially with stereotypes and with racial innuendo. You don't want to do that, because not only is it not right, it is not even accurate. It's not sound. In Trinidad, where I was born and raised, my godfather was Chinese. My other brother's godfather was an Ebonese Jew. My brother's godmother was a Hindu. That's unusual about that. That's just how we lived, and we lived together in the same area. So we have to be careful how we state our case so that we're not mistaken for expressing sentiments that would be viewed as hostile to particular communities, and because people generally say it. They generally say a lot of wrong things. So we have to be careful, because we're teachers. When we gather here, we all are teachers. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our program today. And I'm so glad that we were able to connect yet another day. And let's hope we can do the same again tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, and certainly thanks for contributing. Bye-bye.